and the connection with discipleship. So that's kind of the umbrella that the message is continuing to move through, and we're going to be looking today in terms of discipleship, something that is very important for us, and it's come out in things that have already been spoken. I guess the best way to say it would be making room for God in our heart. Making room. We're going to talk about that. We're going to look at that whole concept. We might think we know a lot about it, but maybe we won't. I was having trouble here at the beginning, trying to piece together what in my mind what would be the best way to go with this. And there's a few things, so bear with me as I go down through this. Romans 13, verse 11, tells us that it is high time for us to awake. This is a really an important thing, that it's being able to step up and step into things that God wants us to be doing. Sometimes it's going to be something new. I think a number of things that are coming up are going to be new things for most of us. Glenn said, you ask God for something, and wow, he usually will come through for you, and that's always an important thing. Making room for God in our hearts, well, I guess really the first thing that needs to happen is that we've got to say, God, I'd like to be used today by you. I want to make room in my heart so that I'm not just going about my own business, but that I really want to know what's your business that you have for me to do. And that doesn't, if we think that just means that, well, that means I have to get out of the house, that's not necessarily true either, is it? Because a lot of things that God does are things that are inside of us, where he's working something that we have that's in the way. Right now we've been moving some things around in our house. We've been taking things out, and when you remove some things, it really makes more room for something else, or just more room to move around, right? So making that room in our hearts for the Lord is something lots of times that requires something to get removed. We've taken a number of things down to storage areas, and get them out of the house. They're not really needed or wanted. Are there things in our lives that maybe are sitting there in our hearts that get in the way of us really opening up our hearts even that much more to God, right? So this is what I'm going to be talking about today. Would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54? I originally was going to go step through each of the three verbs that was in this scripture. I used it a week or two ago. And this is the scripture about enlarging the place of your tent. That's how it starts out. And it says this, Isaiah 54, we're going to be in verses 2 and 3. I'm going to read that, but I'm only going to focus in on the very first part. I was going to go down through all of it, but I'm not. I'm only going to go through the first part of it today. And this is what it says, Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you will break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed, neither will you be confounded. So we're talking about enlarging the place of our tent. And to enlarge something means you're making room. Another definition of that Hebrew word is make room, making room for God. Right? We're trying to make room in our hearts for God to be more a part of the way we think and move and have our being. Is that right? This is what a disciple would do, right? More of God. Not being satisfied, but more of God. And how does all that work? And it's something that really, being a disciple, we need to be cognizant of the fact that there's a lot of rooms in our heart that we haven't really opened up to God. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Are there rooms in your house that you don't go into that often? I know with us, with Kathy and I, during the wintertime, we hardly ever go into the living room. We're down in the family room downstairs where the wood stove is, and we're staying nice and warm down there through the winter. And in the summertime, we're up in the living room more often and not downstairs as much. So that, you know, there's just rooms you tend to go to more than others, and some rooms you hardly even get to. Like, I try to stay away from the sink in the kitchen where the dishes are, or the laundry room, as Kathy would say. You know, there's just certain places you don't really want to go to, but. We want to make room so that any area of our life is open to what God's looking to do. And I think that as we get older, we don't think that maybe there's that much for God to have to do, or that He can do something in us differently than what He's done before. But that's not true, right? Is it? What was darkness tries to hide you. I thought that was pretty interesting quote from that song that we first heard. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to open up any more to God than you already have. He wants to close you down. He wants to keep you in a place that doesn't become more open to God. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we are making room in our hearts every day, that our hearts are opening ourselves up even that much more to God. And of course, the tent in this case is us. It's the body and our mind, right? And to make room in our heart, in our mind and heart to God is something that God wants us to do. He wants us to enlarge the place of our tent. He wants us to broaden our understanding of Him. He wants us to be open to the things that He says to us, so that we become more doers, right? Mm-hmm. Because in this age, in the time of this age, we are in a place where we can't just be hearers, We have to be doers. Mm-hmm. And God is going to be requiring, maybe is the word, wanting, desiring all of us to move in a greater capacity in Him. But the only way that's going to happen is if we open up our hearts that much more to Him. Amen?
Yes.
So,
Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 18:36 goes along with this. It says, you have enlarged my steps under me so that my feet do not slip. Now, here's that word enlarge, right? God enlarges. He makes room. He clears the way. He provides the path for us to go, to step into. And the big thing with that would be by His Word, right? Because the Word is what lights our path. It's a lamp under our feet. He clears the way for us so we can see where we're going. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is very important that God is going to be the one that's going to lead us down these paths, and we have to be awake to what he's saying to us. Amen?
Amen.
There's all kinds of things, you know, going on, and Kathy and I have felt that the Lord had opened the door for it was time for us to move down to be with Libby, and that opens up all kinds of feelings I don't like change that much. We've been here 26 years or just about 26 years, there's things that when you move into something new, it's a new situation. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. You don't know what to expect, and so all of those things start playing into our minds, and we can kind of I don't want to go in that direction. But we have to hear what God has to say, and then be able to be obedient, be willing. And being obedient to go in the direction that we have to go, and I think for our the body here, when something like this happens, lots of times God is now going to be doing something new, something different with all the rest of the body. Things are going to be different. You know that, right? It'll be different. It'll be good, but it's going to be different. And lots of times, that's hard for us to adjust to. And it's going to be so important that people step up into positions or ministries or helping things out or just having a listening ear to know what God is saying and not to be afraid to step into particular places. Whether it's, some people think, well, I can't pray. And that's the enemy trying to hide you.
Mm-hmm.
You get that?
Yes.
That's the enemy hiding you. Or having a testimony and say, well, you know, they've already heard from me today. They don't need to hear something else or, you know, whatever. The enemy tries to stop us from stepping into what God is asking us to do at that moment. Yes? You understand that?
So I just wanted to encourage us all that there's, you know, there's going to be lots of changes and things are going to be different, but God's going to be here in the midst of us, even though it's going to be different.
And God will be with Kathy and I where we are down there when we're not up here. We still plan on coming up here as much as we can, but we're going to have to be obedient to God, do what He wants us to do, and though it's different, though it might be difficult, we have to continue to step out and do what He wants, what He's asking us, and that's the same with you. You know that. I think there's going to be such a tremendous blossoming of more and more people in doing particular things within the church, but outside the church as well. Don't you feel that?
Yes.
There's something. I feel like we're on the cusp of something that's really going to be great for this body. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13 says this. O Corinthians, we have spoken freely to you. Our heart has made room for you. Now here's Paul and his apostolic team that's moving around. They're going. They go to Corinth and they said that they made room for the Corinthians in their heart. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You have not been restrained by us, but you are restrained by your own emotions.
Malcolm, what? Scriptures.
2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 13. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 13. So, O Corinthians, we have spoken freely to you. Our heart has made room for you. You have not been restrained by us, but you are restrained by your own emotions. Now, repay us for making room for you, my dear children. Make room in your hearts for us. Now, this is on this personal thing. You think about how much God has made room for us. Right?
Yes.
I mean, in his house there's all these mansions, and He's prepared a place for us, and He's made all kinds of room for us. And He's come inside of us, and he's made His abode with us. And He said, okay, now make room for me. Make room for me. Right? That's what God's saying. I mean, here's Paul saying it to the Corinthians. Well, God's saying that to us. Isn't that something? This is how He looks at things. Making room for God in our heart. So, what comes to your mind when you think of making room in your heart for God? What's that mean? What's that look like? What do you have to do?
Get rid of some of that stuff that's cluttered in there, or preventing you from letting God.
Okay, so making room. One of the things is clean some things up. Right? You're going to have to clean some things up. And funny how that is. I've noticed in my life where I've taken the time to go before God and fall on my face and repent about different attitudes and situations that have happened. I get closer to God after I've done that.
Yeah.
You too, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens. I'm making room for Him. He's gonna fill me up.
Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand." Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock."
Yeah.
If you hear my voice, and open the door. So we have to do it.
Yes.
And in my mind, the way to open the door is you name that door, you name that room, whatever it is that I'm keeping from Him. It may be something good or bad. It could be bitterness. It could be anger. It could be sorrow. Whatever it is, that's the opening of the door for me. It's a turning of the doorknob. It's to name it, because it breaks the power.
Yeah.
So then God has opportunity when I hide secrets or when I'm not honest. I've locked the door.
Yeah.
When I unlock the door is when I'm honest with Him. I don't have to be with anybody else but with Him. To say, God, I keep this as an idol. away from you. And it helps me to open that door. Because it's like the tent pegs. I have to lengthen the rope. I have to drive the tent peg deep.
Yes.
He won't do that for me. No. I have to do it. I have to do my part. He will do his part. If we'll just name what's bothering us, we'll go so much farther.
That's good.
There's
something else?
Yeah. I know this is one of your favorite scriptures about awaken my ear as a disciple.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake in the morning to listen. And I find that I have a hard time doing that. I've been trying to do that more, just to be still, you know, and listen, and not, oh, this must be what God wants me to do because it seems to be right, but to really listen, and I can't say that I'm really that good at it, but lately I've been feeling like I've been hearing Him more because I'm just more willing to listen to what He says and not just run off on my own as quickly.
Yeah, and we have our own idea. There are things that crowd us in. I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about all the things that I've got to do, and you know, I want to make sure I get this done, or I need to get that done, or I got all the, oh no, I got all those corrections I got to do today, and you know, I'm going to and then I'm not making room for God in my heart at that point because it's all filled up. I'm not taking stuff out to allow God the room. He needs to speak to me, because a lot of it is Him speaking to us, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what it means to be a disciple. As a disciple has a listening ear.
So I had made a note, like one of my studies this week, that I wasn't going to share today, but you know, you talk about enlarging your tent pegs and all that, I'll open them. Well, one of the things that I wrote down was narrow your lenses to this day, to have a moment-by-moment perspective and let Jesus' words become your compass.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't narrow your vision, you've got all the distractions you were talking about.
Oh, yes.
And so you can't focus where you need to.
Excellent. Another thing that I wrote down here as far as making room is fear can hold us back from making the room that we need. If God's moving on you to share something, but the fear of how it's going to be received you know, whatever. Is it going to sound okay? I think God did something to me this morning here at the beginning. When I was getting up, my head was going like, what's going on in my head? Because it was, should I start here or should I start there? And I had to not be afraid. I had to know. I had to step out. I couldn't be concerned about how things were going to come across. I just had to step out in faith to say what I thought the Lord wanted me to say to everybody, right? So there's lots of things that happen where fear really can keep us from making the right kind of room for God to move through us, through our weakness, right? I think a lot of us, when we go, you know, if you stood up to talk about something and share something, you want it to come across so wonderfully, and you know, we want everybody to accept everything, and that can get in the way of you sharing something. You know, the enemy tries to bring the fear to keep us hidden. You get that?
Yes.
If the scripture is true, that the body builds itself up as every joint supplies, then it's important that not every single time we're together, but when we're talking on the phone to one another, when we're praying by ourselves, when we're here or we're there, God wants us to be willing and ready to share His life to other people. Isn't that right? But if we're too afraid about, well, I wonder if they're going to receive this, or they're not going to receive this, so I might as well not even try. You know, we have to be open to hear what God's telling us to do, and then be able to do it. And fear is a real big factor, I think, for a lot of people. And so there's not that making room for God to fill in. We hold back, and that's you know, I don't know what this means for me, and you know, going someplace else. I'm very comfortable here. I know I'm received here. Well, pretty much, I'm received here, right? So that kind of takes a little bit of edge off. But you know, when you get into something new, or if it's the first time you're going to be doing something, it's edgy. It's you know, and that fear that comes in we have to step through that. Every single one of us, in some way or capacity or another. Steve, did you have something you want to say?
I just thought back to the beginning of this discourse right here. And I think the question came up, do we pray enough or what have you? I don't think I pray enough, but I spend an awful lot of time being grateful for what I've got. I think there's a prayer that works into that.
Yes, that's true.
Because I have everything I've thought of. I haven't asked for it, but it happens. And so I'm ever grateful for that. Yeah. And maybe that counts as prayer, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll get
a couple of
brownie points for that along the way or something.
Yeah, I think gratitude is a prayer. Gratitude, because you're talking to God. It is a prayer.
Yes.
Thank you, God. You know, you're talking to Him, you're connecting. There's a connection that's being made, and God loves that. You know,
yeah.
That we're grateful about things.
Yeah.
Let's see. Isaiah 43:19. One of the things, as I was thinking about trying to put this together, you know, we have to make room for new things. Things that we're not used to. Right? We have to be open to the thing that's new. I guess I put this down because that's what I'm looking at. In that big kind of way. And it says this in this is Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And you look at that and you go, the wilderness, the desert. That's what you feel like you're going into, you know, when there's something new that you're endeavoring, you're going out to do. I hope I can handle this, right? I hope I can handle this. And that's going to be important for us in terms of new things. We can tend to, something new means something's changed. Something's different, right? The scripture
I think I'll do this first.
I've had this Bible 26 years, I think, since we've been in this church. What do you notice about this Bible?
Here, I'm going to take the stuff out because it's
Is that what's holding it together?
That is what's holding it together.
You better take out Ephesians.
So, you know, I just want to show you. You know, it's used, and I'm not bragging about this. I'm just saying, you know, I have all kinds of notes and circled. I know you guys have that too. You know, it's old. This is old. It can only handle so much. And look at it. It's falling apart, right? And I probably should get a new Bible. But what should I do? You know what I'm going to do when I get the new Bible? What am I going to do? I'm going to take the things that are here. This is a comfortable Bible. Anytime you've been in the Word enough, you know, I know Keith knows it. He could tell you what page and column on the page a certain scripture is found. I know I can do that, and I'm sure other people can. When I think of a scripture, I can see it on the page. You know why? Because it's the same Bible right along. This is what I've used over and over and over and over again. I know where everything is in here. Give me another Bible, and I'll be fumbling around looking for the scripture. Where's that scripture? But boy, I know this one. I know that Bible. And boy, it's something when you've been involved in a group of people, you've been involved in the way that you function in a certain way, it's comfortable. Take that away from me. I'm not as comfortable. Right? Take away people or conditions where maybe now you have to do something different. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? I want to read to you.
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you...
Before you move on to your next thought, I had an uncle who was extremely special to me. And you just made me think of something he said about his Bible. He said, "Your Bible, after you're gone, will tell the world who you are." Don't get rid of your Bible. Your notes, your underlining, everything in your Bible is who you are.
Yeah, that's true. No, I don't think I'd ever throw it.
Malcolm.
You know, when you have something like that, some people have a hard time throwing anything old away. You know? All right, go ahead.
You can get that Bible restored.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. God restores all the time.
There are places where you can have it put back together.
Even the wrinkled pages?
Yes. Well, and you need it stuck into your holder, you know. It's falling out of your leather.
A binder, yeah.
So you need that done first. But there's places where they will do that.
Right.
I think that's probably what you're looking for, because your notes are necessary and they're in there, and you don't want to move those notes.
Yeah.
So we'll all look for that.
Thank you. That's good. Okay, so of course this reminds me of Matthew chapter 9, right? I'm going to read this to you. It's verse 17. "Neither do men put new wine..." Because we're talking about God doing something new, right? "Neither do men put new wine into old wineskins," right?
Yeah.
"Else the wineskins burst and the wine runs out, and the wineskins are destroyed. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So, When God is doing something new with a group of people, we'll put it on a group level here first. When God's doing something new with a group of people, things are going to have, they're going to change because there's something new that's going on, and people can't expect everything to be the same anymore. They'll burst. You can't expect that. Things are, when God does a new thing, then things are going to change. The way things are done, different people, different personalities, all these different things are coming to play, and people have to make the right kind of adjustments. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
So, I wrote down here just in case anybody didn't know. New wine is basically grape juice that is just starting to ferment. And the fermentation process isn't done yet. That's what new wine is. So when you put the new wine into an old wineskin, right, it's fermenting while it's in there. And so it's letting off gas. And it's expanding. And it's going to stretch that wineskin to the place where it's going to break because it's old. It's used. It doesn't want to stretch. And when it does, it's gonna break open. So, being a disciple, we have to, since we're looking to make room for God, and God is so, beyond us. God stretches us and opens us up little bits at a time. But to be a disciple, we have to be people that can embrace that can allow for those new things to happen. And we don't like that too much, most of us.
And it's exciting too.
It can be exciting. That's right. It can be exciting. But for there's some people that they're always looking for something new. But that's not me. But all right. So anyway. Let me write. Let's just say some things. We don't want to dig in and say, "Well, I'm not changing. I'm not moving into that kind of thing. Let somebody else do this." When God might be having new things for every one of us to do. Right? You got that? I wrote down here that. We don't want to be stubborn. If there's one thing I've learned about myself in the last year and a half, I'm way more stubborn than I ever thought I was. Way, way more stubborn. Now, it's okay to have conviction about doctrine and conviction of who Jesus is. I mean, you better be strong and immovable there. But when it comes to your own personal situations, let's not be stubborn. You know, it's in 1 Samuel 15, I looked this up last night. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, it says, "Stubbornness is like the sin of iniquity and idolatry." To be stubborn. That kind of shook me a little bit. To be an idolater, it's like being an idolater. Because of, dig in. I'm not doing that. Nobody's going to tell me,
It's prideful.
It's pride.
Yeah.
Stubbornness really is rooted in pride, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, Jeff.
I think we've all tried to be stubborn, but it never works out that way.
No, because God doesn't give up on us, right? Yeah. We want to be, instead of being stubborn, especially in these last days, we want to be people that volunteer.
Free.
Oh, that needs to be done with in the church. Oh, hey. I'll volunteer. I'll do it. It's like any of the little tiny things that go on in the church. Could somebody pray for the kids before they go? and nobody's saying anything. People that normally would pray, they're saying, well, somebody else should pray, you know? Little things like that. Little tiny, I'm going to do that. You don't have to feel some grand moving of the Spirit to pray over somebody. You understand what I'm saying here? You know? It's that step leads to other steps where God can use you now in a different way. You understand that? And maybe even me saying this, you go, oh no, are they going to make me say something when I don't want to? Or nobody's going to force anybody to do anything. But I want us, as a body of believers, for all of us just to be so free, so open, so made room for God kind of people, that we, any one of us at any time can just step up there. If somebody says, hey, could you pray over the communion, you know, that people aren't going, I can't do that. We are all, like that first song that Steve played, you know, what was the title of that, Steve? Can't be stopped. You cannot be stopped. He's talking about Jesus, talking about God. But guess what? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we can move in the things that God calls us to move into. Can't we? Can't we? And I think there's going to be this great blossoming of that that's going to happen in here. In a greater way, because it's time for that. It's the time for that. I'm going to conclude, I think, here with the, you know, faith comes by hearing. And this is what it means to be a disciple, right? That Isaiah 50, verse 4, that I've read a number of times, where it says, I awaken morning by morning. I awaken my ear to hear as if it was, as a disciple. You know, just developing that hearing ear, you know, what you said, Kathy, you know, to wake up and to say, God, I want to hear you today. Please show me. I'm going to just slow myself down. I'm going to make room in my heart and in my mind for you just to be able to speak to me. And you can, you know, he speaks. Bob and I have talked about this a lot. You know, he speaks not only with you actually hearing words in your mind, but he speaks to you by the words that come off of a page of scripture or something that you might read in a newspaper. Right?
Or another person.
Or somebody else says something and there's just something that grabs a hold of you, right? That's God speaking to you most of the time. So I'm just going to close with this. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's seven places where that is in the book of Revelation, because he says it, the Lord says it to every one of those seven churches. He says all kinds of things to them, and he says, you know, if you have ear, you have an ear, then hear what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If you have an ear, hear what I'm saying. He says that seven different times, once to each of the seven churches. So Lord, we pray that for all of us here and for those in Zoom and people that just couldn't be here today, Lord, I just pray that we would grow in our discipleship with you, that we would have, we'd awaken morning by morning to have an ear to hear as a disciple, that we're making room in our minds and hearts for you. We make room today, Lord.